This park was different over 100 years ago. You would be standing in a clearing of trees. There would be a gravel roadway. There would be horses and carriages. No cars. And that's what Ellen Phillips Samuel saw here in 1907 when she wrote her will. She decided to leave funds to the Fairmount Park Art Association to commission sculpture for this area along the Schuylkill River. I'm Penny Balkenbach, Executive Director of the Fairmount Park Art Association, and I've written a number of books and articles about public art in Philadelphia.
And I'm Mike Zuckerman, Professor of History at the University of Pennsylvania. Ellen Samuel was one of the great philanthropists of early 20th century Philadelphia.
And at the time of her gift, it was probably the largest contribution of its kind in Philadelphia.
And she meant this to be a tribute to America, to her country. Emblematic, as she put it, of the history of America, ranging in time from the earliest settlers of America to the present era.
The original idea was to create a row of statues of important people. But by the time her estate was settled in 1929, the Art Association abandoned that original idea. They decided to do something more challenging, something more contemporary.
Every terrace has its own theme. The theme of this terrace is the first settlement of America and the culmination of those early settlements in the War for Independence and the creation of the new nation.
If you stand in the middle of the terrace and face Kelly Drive, head to your right and stand in front of the Settling of the Seaboard, which is by the sculptor Wheeler Williams. I'm Kathleen Foster. I'm the Senior Curator of American Art at the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Here you have the standing European, the sitting Indian, so it's very clear who's in charge and who's subordinate. But we also have the two quotes flanking the sculpture, one from William Penn, the great founder of Pennsylvania, the other from Alexander Whitaker, an early minister. And Whitaker is full of talk about God's providence and his plan for this land to belong to the Europeans. Penn is much more conciliatory, much more respectful of the Indians. And if you read those two quotes, they come from two different places in the American mind.
Thinking about these sculptures as artworks, in a way, they're sort of like architectural sculpture here, but without the architecture.
And so both pieces have this static and very serious look to them. And that's probably because they were commissioned during the Second World War.
Flanking the tableau of the Settling of the Seaboard, you'll see two sculptures by Harry Rosin, the Puritan and the Quaker. The sculptures are remarkably honest. The Puritan has a rifle and a powder horn. It's very clear that the Puritan is depicted here as violent and intending harm to the Indians.
Okay, now, on your left is a large sculpture called The Birth of a Nation by Henry Kreiss.
With its flanking sculptures, the Revolutionary Soldier and the Statesman, both by Erwin Frey. We have no effort to hide the rough, tough, dirty, violent work that was done by the soldier. We don't win our independence without that fighting. On the other hand, we don't win an enduring nation without the statesman who comes up behind the soldier, creates the Articles of Confederation, creates the Constitution. And I think we have artists who are actually ahead of the historians of their day in their recognition of the contradictions of American history.
So if you'd like to learn more about the impulses behind the creation of the Samuel Memorial, there are two more terraces. You can head north, and each terrace has its own story to tell. In 1907, Ellen Phillips Samuel wrote her will, and in it she left a significant amount of money to the Fairmount Park Art Association to commission sculpture for this area along the Schuylkill River. And to fulfill this vision, the Fairmount Park Art Association decided to hold three international sculpture exhibitions in 1933, 40, and 49. I'm Penny Balkenbach. I'm executive director of the Fairmount Park Art Association, And I've written a number of books and articles about public art in Philadelphia.
Getting together an international exhibition of sculpture has got to be about the hardest thing in the world for a curator, then or now. I'm Kathleen Foster, Senior Curator of American Art at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. When the sculptures were going to weigh more than a ton and they were coming from Europe and faraway places, the complexity of an installation like that is enormous. They're big, they're heavy, they might be fragile.
The first international sculpture exhibition was in 1933. The idea behind these exhibitions was to invite sculptors from all over the world so that the Art Association could choose the artists who would really reflect the spirit of the times.
You can just see the earnestness in the Art Association's committee in trying to select artists from all around the world.
Standing near the middle of the terrace, if you look towards the bridge, you'll see the bronze Welcoming to Freedom by the artist Maurice Stern, who was Russian-American. And that sculpture is flanked by two figures in limestone. On the left is The Slave by Helene Sardot, who was from Belgium. And on the right is The Immigrant by Heinz Wernicke, who was born in Germany.
If you walk down to the other end of this terrace, you can see Spanning the Continent, which is by Robert Laurent, an artist who was actually born in France. Laurent's big bronze is a wonderful statement of the kind of energy that the pioneers needed to settle the continent. You can see in the way they surge forward the kind of strength and resilience that was needed.
But the terrace is dominated by the huge bronze sculpture by Jacques Lipschitz in the middle. It's called The Spirit of Enterprise.
This amazing work that Lipschitz completed in 1960. It took him about 4 years to make. He made it in about 20 different sections, each of which was screwed and welded together to complete the whole thing. And it weighs about 9 tons, incredibly foreboding and massive, and it's just an astonishing sight. I'm Michael Taylor. I'm the curator of modern art at the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
The sculpture by Lipschitz was located at the North Terrace, but in 1986, the Art Association decided to move it here so that it would be more visible from Kelly Drive.
And it stands on this beautiful vein marble base, so it's elevated. And what it does, it gives you this dramatic backdrop of the sky behind it. And Lipschitz is a modern sculptor, and modern sculpture detached itself from architecture. It's designed to be seen in the round. So I would encourage you to look at the work from below, from around, really get the feel for it.
This terrace has two themes. One is to express the idea of westward expansion, and the other is the idea of welcoming immigrants from other lands.
Yeah, and Lipschitz himself was a newly arrived immigrant. He had escaped the Nazis in Europe and had arrived in America. He had to learn the language again. So think about this title, Spirit of Enterprise. For Lipschitz, that meant working hard, reinventing yourself, the opportunities that America gave him and others like him. And the imagery of the work is really a man flying over America, guided by this big eagle. I think that has a universal kind of symbolism, but also very personal for Lipschitz himself.
You're in the central terrace right now, but if you'd like to hear more about the vision behind these sculptures, you can move north or south. Each terrace has its own story to tell. The sculptors for this terrace were selected from the third and final Sculpture International Exhibition in 1949. Over 250,000 people came to see the works on exhibition, and there were over 250 different works to see. The event was unbelievably popular and widely covered by the national press. At the time, even Life magazine called it the world's biggest sculpture show. I'm Penny Balkenbach. I'm director of the Fairmount Park Art Association, and I've written a number of books and articles about public art in Philadelphia. The idea with this terrace, the last of the three to be built, wasn't to express a historical period, but rather those inner energies of the nation.
This was the perspective of the 1950s, of what made America great. Religion, the sciences, the arts, the worker. I'm Kathleen Foster, the Senior Curator of American Art at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. After World War II, the United States was enriched by a flood of emigrant artists as well as an awareness of international art trends.
If you stand in the middle and you face Kelly Drive, you'll see the laborer on your far left, and that was created by the American-born Aaron Ben Shmuel. But the rest of the artists are from abroad. The scientist on the left is by the Armenian artist Korinder Harushian. The poet was created by the Spanish artist José de Kraft. And the preacher on the far right is by the German-born sculptor Waldemar Remisch.
In hindsight, the Fairmount Park Art Association might have made different choices, perhaps choosing sculptors that we think of today as more progressive and forward-looking.
Well, many great talents from all over the world were overlooked for these commissions. Alberto Giacometti, Constantine Brancusi, Henry Moore, Alexander Calder, David Smith, even Picasso exhibited work at that exhibition. But none of these artists were chosen. Back then, they would have been seen as very radical.
Back in the 1950s, what you see here was, in fact, the mainstream style of sculpture. Back then, nobody knew who was going to win in the history of art in the battle between abstraction and more old-fashioned figuration.
Even though abstraction was becoming more popular after the Second World War, I think it's fair to say that the Samuel Committee felt ethically bound to represent the wishes of the donor, Ellen Phillips Samuel. And so they decided to commission work that maintained the basic human form as a reference.
People might have found these sculptures quite reassuring, really, in that they express some of these older values of realism as well as a taste of the modern.
You're now on the North Terrace near the bridge. If you want to learn more about the history and the ideas behind the Samuel Memorial, you can walk south to two other terraces because each terrace has a different story to tell.